Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our lesson, we shall be dealing with matters that are crucial to our faith or our religion. We use the term faith as it is used in Jude 3, when he said that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which means the religion, the faith, of which Jesus Christ is the author and the founder, the finisher and the foundation. We shall deal with points of concern that are vital to the validity and the integrity of New Testament Christianity. Our faith resides in the one of whom we read in the Bible, the Christ. What a person can know of true Christianity and the will of Jesus Christ to be learned only from the Bible. Our faith, therefore, is no more reliable than the information we have regarding him and what he taught and what he did and who he is and our obligations to him as is found in Scripture. It is admitted by friend and foe alike that the Bible is a marvelous book, but not all agree that it is the Word of God. Some consider it to be God's plenary, verbally inspired word, just as it claims to be. But others consider it nothing more than an exceptional work at best, but totally of man. Still others look upon it as only ancient literature, even Jewish fable and folklore and such like. Of course, there are many who have nothing but contempt for the Bible because it contradicts so much of what they say and do. And they are not hesitant to manifest their hatred toward it any way and any time that they can. There are several important questions that shall be raised, and the truthfulness of the answers is at the heart of the faith. If the Bible is true, there are many who shall suffer because of their opposition to it, and there are those who shall be blessed because they believe it. If it is false, many have been deceived and have been wasting their time, and their hope is vain, and Christianity is just another human religion, no more and no less, no better and no worse than others. Some would even contend that Christianity is worse than others. But what is the Bible? What does it claim to be? How important is it to Christianity? From whence has it come? How did we get it in its present form? Can we have confidence in it and its completeness? Is part of it missing? Does it include anything that does not belong? Are we in possession of reliable text and versions of it? What of the alleged contradictions and mistakes that skeptics claim that are in the Bible? Friend, what is the nature of the inspiration of the Bible? We shall attempt to answer such questions in order to build a faith and belief and confidence and trust in the Bible, and to remove those things that would destroy the Bible. Truth is always compatible with truth. We must investigate, lest we have a flimsy and unsound basis for our lives and our religion, our hopes and our destiny. For want of a better place to start, let us start by saying the Bible is an ancient book, by no means the oldest writing. There are earlier writings going back 4,000 to 5,000 years before Christ. John 5, 46 and 47 reveals that Moses wrote of Christ. For a long time, skeptics denied this by saying that writing did not exist in the time of Moses, over 3,500 years ago. But now it is well known that writing existed at least 25 centuries prior to Moses. This is one of the many instances where archaeology has vindicated the claims of the Bible, at least showing the reasonableness and the validity of its claims that Moses wrote of Christ. Early writings were on stone and clay and wood and leather, papyrus sheets and vellums and parchments, cave walls and eventually paper. Papyrus sheets are made from papyrus plants that are found in abundance. This was the most important writing material of the ancient world. The New Testament was originally written on such sheets. As for the Bible, We do not know the specific time and place where the first scripture was penned. This information is simply not revealed. But it was done by Moses. The word Bible simply means books. The Bible is a collection of 66 books into a single book. Now, from the Bible, we learn that God's first communication with mankind was verbal and oral. He spoke directly to Adam and to Noah and to Abraham and the other patriarchs. The first written will of God was at Sinai, when Israel was encamped at the foot of the mountain, and God gave them tablets of stone, gave them unto Moses. It is likely there and then that much of Moses' work was begun, although we cannot know how much. It was here that God told Moses to write down the law God gave him by which Israel was to be led. And from that time forward, we have numerous writings from God. The Old Testament, from the time of Sinai through the time of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, at the time of Malachi, around 400 B.C., the book was written. The New Testament contains records and histories and biographies and letters by inspired men written to churches and to individuals revealing Christianity. We are not lacking for abundance of written material in the Bible. The Bible is divided into the two Testaments, the Old and the New. Men have classified these books in various ways. The Hebrew Bible was divided into three categories, consisting of 22 books, Law, Prophets, and Psalms, and other writings. These 22 Hebrew books are the same as our 39 books of the Old Testament. The oracles of God were given to the Jews, Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. And this kind of Jewish division was recognized by Christ in Luke 24 and verse 44. There was never any quarrel between Jesus and the Jews of the first century which books belonged or what they said. The terms Old and New do not refer to the age of the covenants. The Old was first, but was fulfilled in Christ, lasting approximately 1,500 years. We read of its end in Galatians 3:19 through 28, and Matthew 5 and verse 17. The New was second, revealing the will of Christ, and has already lasted nearly 2,000 years, 500 years longer than did the Old Testament. Christ, by establishing His new will, made the first old, Hebrews 8 and verse 13. He took away the first to establish the second, Hebrews 10 and verse 9. The old, then, is old because it has been taken away. The new is new because it is the one which Christ is the mediator, Hebrews 9:15, and which can accomplish what the old could not accomplish, Hebrews 7:9 and Romans 8:2-3. It is new because it shall last as God's will for mankind until the return of Christ, at which time we shall be judged by His word, John 12 and verse 48. We need to understand, do we not, why the Old and New Testaments are called Old and New? Not due to age, but one has been replaced. God used about 40 different people to write the Bible, spanning a period over 1,500 to 1,600 years. Included in the Bible are three dispensations or systems of rule by which God has governed man in the past, and how He governs man today. These three dispensations are, one, called the Patriarchal Age, the second, called the Mosaic Age, and the third, the Christian Dispensation, under which we live, Hebrews 1:1-2. Now, there were three languages involved in biblical writing. Two are predominant. There is Hebrew, and almost all of the 39 books of the Old Testament were originally written in Hebrew. Some small portions, however, were of a kindred language called Aramaic. This latter tongue was a common language in Palestine starting about 500 years before Christ. This is likely the language that Jesus often spoke. It is possible that when the New Testament speaks of the Hebrew language, Aramaic may well be meant, because Aramaic was the common language of Hebrew people at that time. A few portions of the Old Testament were written in Aramaic, and a few portions of the New were also in the Aramaic language. The Greek language was used in writing the New Testament for the greater part. It is commonly called Koine Greek, the conversational Greek. At the time of Christ, this form of Greek was almost universal in tongue. It is a dead language, no longer commonly used. Well, how did we get our present Bible? Is it accurately preserved from ancient writings? Now, these matters are, friend, of great importance. We can make determination from two sources called primary and secondary sources. The original sources, of course, are not available and possibly have perished. Why did God not see fit to preserve them? We do not know. Could it have been that men would have made idols of them, to build shrines over them, make their resting place a holy place? We do see people venerate relics of the past of far lesser significance. But let us consider the primary sources. We're concerned with what are called manuscripts. New Testament manuscripts are in Greek and are copies of the original autographs or writings. Some 4,500 manuscripts of various quantities have been found, far more than any other ancient writing. Some were copied near the date of the originals. Most include only portions of the New Testament. There are three manuscripts that are considered of great value, called the Vaticanus, the Sinaiticus, and the Alexandrian text. And while these have the edge regarding age, there is grave doubt concerning the reliability or the accuracy of all of those texts. But they are of great value in making comparisons and determining the text alongside the many other manuscripts. There are other sources of greater age and reliability, however, than these, especially greater than the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. There is abundant evidence that the first two are corrupted in many ways, and they are at variance from what can be shown from other sources. But there are secondary sources, and these sources include ancient translations, writings that are called lectionaries, and the personal writings of early Christians. If something had been translated, it obviously existed prior to the translation. The oldest evidence as to the contents of the autographs are from ancient versions. Lectionaries are books containing selected and special passages designed for public reading in public worship. Over 1,800 such writings have been found, from the letters and commentaries of early Christians, wherein is quoted so much of the Scripture, especially the New Testament. Almost all of the Scripture can be reproduced. The vast amount of source material allows for comparisons of the text and the detection of possible human errors, such as copying errors, misspelling, and other trivial variations, such as saying holy, holy, rather than holy, 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 or citing the Lord Jesus Christ rather than Christ Jesus the Lord. Such variations are often found. With this abundance, however, the fullness and completeness as well as the accuracy of the true biblical text can be ascertained. In less than 1/1,000th. Now listen to this, friend. This should be encouraging to us. In less than 1/1,000th of the New Testament text, is there any substantial variation to be found at all in all of these sources? From this vast amount of sources, nearly 20,000 documents altogether, the New Testament can be found intact, surpassing by far anything else of ancient writing. And this in itself is significant. And as for the Old Testament, Accuracy is no less preserved when we realize several important facts. God committed the oracles to the Jews, as noted. Jesus endorsed the Old Testament scriptures as the Jews considered them. He usually quoted from the Greek version of them, the Septuagint, a translation from Hebrew to Greek, compiled about 250 years before Christ. Accuracy is also verified from other versions, even the Samaritan copies. When one considers the meticulous care of scribes and the care the copyists used to prevent any error, we are made all the more confident. It is some of the most interesting reading to learn of the precise methods used as they went about their work making copies of the scriptures. And from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and more recent discoveries of the oldest copies known of Isaiah and other books, over 1,000 years older than anything previously discovered, the accuracy of the text as we have it is confirmed. Again, archaeology has proven to be a friend of the Scripture. We are not confident of the accuracy and veracity of the Bible because of these findings, but because we know God is the author and the preserver of His Word. But these findings are impressive upon any honest mind regarding the Bible. It makes us more assured than ever before that God has and does and will keep His promise, such as He gave in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, "The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.